C4. Number 9B.
See, the last horizontal is, so to say, our security. Namely, it says, whenever you understand something scientifically, you know what you know, and you have really then a solid basis under your feet, and you know how to operate. Here in the fourth chapter, Science, Christian Science versus Spiritualism, we feel for the first time that here we get the means and the method of how I can understand what is real and what is unreal. She gives us the scientific method of looking right through all the misconception, looking right through all that tries to blur and to deface reality, so as that we pierce through and can see what is what. What is real, what is unreal. Only then, can you see, only then when we can distinguish what is real and unreal, we can really have in the footsteps of truth a change of consciousness. Then we begin to say, all right, I gear my thinking according to that which is real and not to that which is unreal. And I begin to restructure my consciousness, and that is what happens in footsteps of truth, that through that scientific understanding we really free ourselves from an unscientific consciousness and build up clearer and clearer and stronger and more understandingly a scientific consciousness. When we do that and build up a scientific consciousness, then we can say with a scientific consciousness, I can handle problems. That's usually why we want to have a scientific consciousness, because that alone allows us to handle problems. And this is what happens in chapter Christian Science Practice, that it says, now, with an understanding, not with a belief, not with a religious belief, not with all your faith, you can heal yourself and others. You can solve problem. It's the problem-solving activity of any scientific understanding. Just as in mechanics, just as in biology, just as in medicine, just as in any other science, the moment we understand it, we can solve problems. That's the 10th chapter. And if we can solve problems, we come to the 16th chapter and see, yes, then there is no problem unsolved. There is no more a problem that is not solved, therefore there is no more an enigma. We have resolved all the problems, therefore there is no more a problem. Therefore all I can understand is the principle that is operating and operating through its idea and through its system and through its structure and has its purpose. I know how it operates, and so I know that it operates. I know, I know, I know. And that's all what is necessary. Then we see through everything. We know what we know. And in the knowing, the divine knowing and the divine understanding, there is no disharmony. You can't have a disharmony. Inharmony. Yes. All right? So, this is perhaps a short indication how these chapters are bringing out just that system of that calculus in the absolute Christian Science and in Christian Science, showing every time how the divine has an impact on the human. Actually, when you consider them, you can see that those 16 chapters are all bringing out something in the human, because they all have the impact of the absolute sense on the relative sense, and that's why they are so practical. And therefore we can see that the textbook does not give us just a textbook on absolute Christian Science, nor does it give a textbook on divine science, nor a textbook on science itself. The accent is really on Christian Science, namely the relationship of the absolute to the human. It's the Christian aspect of science, the Christ aspect of science. The Christ is a savior, Only error has to be saved. Truth does not need to be saved. So the whole textbook accentuates the level of Christian Science. Yes. Let's look again at the whole matrix as a whole. You have now more or less the epitomes in it, and so we can perhaps flow a bit easier. What is the purpose of a matrix? We have seen the purpose of a matrix. Let me just quickly take those notes which we had this morning, where we said the purpose of a matrix is important for categorical, relational, and structural thinking. Now here we see it, that what we have been doing is to think in categories. We have never been thinking in terms of parts, of isolated ideas. We have always been thinking of whole categories, either vertical or horizontal. These are categories, these columns and lines, you see? Because they flow through the whole horizontal, flow through the whole vertical. So they are categories, no more just facts. And we always had to keep the pedal note, the tone, the underlying general tone. Or we said a matrix is a means to the most economic representation. On one page we have represented 600 pages. We have seen that a matrix is an aid to remembering the succession of operations. We do not really need to learn by heart the order of and the sequence of those 16 chapters. All what we have to learn is, as we have seen, that it is the calculus, absolute and relative. That's all. Then we can, from there, build. Can say, what is the calculus? Word, Christ, Christianity and Science. What is absolute? What is relative? And you have the two indices. From there you go further and build the point of intersection. You get to 16. And you have your 16. So you don't have really to memorize it. It needs few symbols, as each symbol acquires a special meaning according to its particular box within the grid. Could you see what we did? We did take two categories with definite characteristics, but what we found in each box was a new value. By the combination of those categories, we got to a new value. Say we had, let's say Christianity as the Christ, we had the Christianity, the pedal note of ideas, we had the pedal note of Christ as the manifestation. So we have a new concept, namely that ideas have a Christ, that ideas do manifest themselves out of themselves, by themselves, and in manifesting themselves, they do resolve illusions. Can you see, we arrive at completely new values. Or we have read here, yeah, matrices themselves provide a very powerful condensed language. We have condensed that language. Actually, we could have condensed it much more than the epitomes. Instead of epitomes, if we know our values, well, we just could have said, instead of what we have in the chapter on Science of Being, that ideas are dynamic, that they have a Christ, and by the Christ, they dissolve illusion. We just could have said Christianity as the Christ. And we would have said the very same thing. We really arrive at a very simple terminology. Simple symbols. And you know what you can do with symbols when you know how to use them. Think of Einstein. He just had a simple equation, E=mc², and out of that he had a lifetime of deductions from it, just changing the symbols, and every time he changed as the symbols, he would see new, he would get new insights. That's what one can do with symbols. That's why today people don't say, well, that what distinguishes man from the animal is that he can know. The Homo sapiens, you say, in your English, that it is a Homo sapiens, but that they say he is the Homo symbolicus, the man that can use symbols, that distinguishes him, because symbols are creative. Well, it's no use to go into it, but if you know algebra a little bit, you know how that is, that by changing the symbol, say, in an equation, you arrive at new insights. That you have ME, energy, equal MC square. You can, say, take the M, divide the whole equation by M. You have E divided by M is C square. In other words, you can express suddenly the speed of light through energy and matter, something which has not been seen before. Huh? And only by using symbols. And that's what I think we can see so easily, that if we know our symbols and know what the reality behind the symbols are. You see, the symbols only stand for reality. They are not something by itself. They stand for a whole complex concept of reality. Therefore, if we know what word is, what Christ is, we can say word as the Christ, and then we say something else, and if we say Christ as the word, we just get a terrific impact of these things. All right. Now, they also say that matrix aids structure recognition, and it is a steering mechanism. Let's take up this steering mechanism. I think therein is a lot of practical value. You come to Christian Science, for instance, and the first thing you like to do is to demonstrate it. Because you say, oh, that's fine, in Christian Science I don't have to go to the doctor anymore. So I just have to read the textbook and then I can do the same as the doctor. So they go to the 12th chapter and say, there is the answer. I only have to read about practice of Christian Science. So they start at the 12th chapter. But the 12th chapter is not the first chapter. The 12th chapter tells me something, that this is the point of intersection of Christianity and science. Therefore, it builds on the shoulder, so to say, of the preceding chapters. In other words, if the preceding chapters are not understood, Christian Science practice doesn't work. The whole matrix shows me why it doesn't work. How can I have a healing through understanding ideas if I don't know how to understand? If I don't know what is idea? How can I know what an idea is? Only when in the 11th chapter I have seen that every idea reflects each other idea, and only then you have the consistency and coherency of an idea. So I have to at least to rely on the 11th chapter to know what an idea is. If I want to heal in the 12th chapter, I think I go out from the presupposition that an idea does something. How do I know how an idea does something and what it does? It is the 10th chapter that tells me that and gives me the theory of how an idea deals with an illusion, with its opposite. How on earth do I know, you see, therefore, why I should work with ideas? Why not with thoughts? Why not with matter? Because the 9th chapter first tells me, you know, you only have to deal with ideas. There is no other universe. You don't have a universe of bodies and of organs and of matter and of people. You only have a universe of ideas. That's the only universe you have to deal with if you want to heal. Do you see how I go back now, backward, just to show, well, what does healing in Christian Science imply? What are the presuppositions that are necessary so that the 12th chapter works? And so every time I know what I do, I can see, do I have the prerequisites? If I want to use the 12th chapter, I jolly well have to know that if I want to heal with ideas, that I first have to know what are ideas, that I first, that's the 11th chapter, first to know why ideas have the power to get rid of its opposite, why they do dissolve illusions. And I have first to know, is this ideational universe the only universe, or is there another universe? Is the realm of ideas just a wonderful spiritual realm next to a material realm? Or is the only universe that exists an ideational universe? I have to know that first. Or I don't see the relationship between ideas and the human body. And if you have that, you can even go further back and say, yes, how do I have an ideational universe? Is that ideational universe existing somewhere outside of me, or where is that? And so I come right back to the chapter 8, the footsteps of truth, which says, no, that exists in your consciousness. In your consciousness, you have ideas, and you have a consciousness of ideas, and that's the only scientific consciousness. Any consciousness about illusion is not the scientific consciousness. So I say, oh, that's wonderful. I must have a scientific consciousness. Where is that scientific consciousness? Is it in the body, physiology, or is it in idea? Is it in your vision and your awakened sense of idea? And I come to physiology. And so, can you see, you can see each place value and see how it builds on the preceding ones. And in order, therefore, say, to use the 12th chapter, you have to have some measure of insight into the preceding 11. I said in some measure, because we never can start with 100% concept of each chapter. That, again, is a developing sense, but at least I must see where I am. Yes. In a matrix, the diagonal is always the core of the whole thing. The diagonal is always that which flows from the upper left to the down right, goes right through. Therefore, in the diagonal lies prayer, then science, theology, and medicine, then objections, answers, and then apocalypse. They give, so to say, the backbone of the whole textbook. The whole textbook has a backbone. You can trace it through those four chapters and say, how can I ever reach anywhere in the divine except I begin to seek, except I have desire to know God as He is, and I start with prayer. Without an inward opening up to the divine, without opening myself up to the influx of the divine, I haven't started. This is the prerequisite of everything. You can say, if you open up yourself, what flows in? And you have Christ as a Christ flowing in, namely those seven synonymous terms, the constituents of being are flowing in, which say, we are the only constituents of being, and therefore the opposites are not real. The constituents of being which say, I'm mind and mind's idea, spirit and spirit's idea, soul and soul's idea, principle and principle's idea, I'm life and life's idea, I'm truth and truth's idea, I'm love and love's idea. What are they? They are one great realm and reflection of ideas. And I come to some objections answered. See, therefore I have only to do with a realm of idea where each idea reflects each other idea and there is nothing else but an infinite reflection of ideas. If that is so, then every problem is solved. Then I come to apocalypse, where I see, well, then after all, nothing is going ever on in that that one being but the ideas. And so don't be bothered about anything else. It's always ideas operative, and these ideas are always the ideas of that divine principle that has revealed itself. So don't worry about anything, don't care about anything, just know that it's the idea that is going on. So in this way, we can go right back to the core of Christian Science. If we would have to say, what is, in a few words, Christian Science, what are the theorems of Christian Science, we could say, well, you can't go anywhere except you open up yourself for God, prayer. If you open up for God, what does God reveal? What does God reveal? It reveals what it is as its constituent nature and reveals what is the false constituents of being. It makes a very clear-cut distinction what is the divine nature and what is not the divine nature. Namely, only the synonymous term and their ideas are divine. Then you can say, that's why we deal only with the universe of ideas, wherein each idea is not isolated, but wherein each idea is supported by every other idea, where each idea needs the other idea, where each idea affirms the other idea, where there is just one great system of ideas. And therefore we can say, that's why we believe that nothing is going on except this universe of ideas, and that therefore only ideas reign, and those are always harmonious. And they act on every plane of thought and experience. Apocalypse. Yeah. Well, that would be what we would be doing on Robinson's Island. Huh? And then the next day we would say, all right, I got this, let's put the 7 into it. And we would fill each box with the 7 and see how that epitome which we have made, how that epitome could be further enfolded through the 7. And then through the 7 by 7, and little by little we would have 600 pages. All right. Now, another few minutes, and that is the following. We will have no session tonight, but I would like you to take an hour or so instead of a session. I feel more and more that we should always, take the bull by the horn, always take the opportunity and the occasion which we have reserved for this work and make use of it. More and more I feel it's not me talking to the students, but then the student talking to himself and pondering what he has seen strengthens really the subject. Take an hour or so and try, no matter if you succeed or not. That doesn't matter if one succeeds. It's always the trying that matters. I remember every time one reads about Mrs. Eddy and Collectania or whatever it is, they always pointed out that Mrs. Eddy was never upset if somebody couldn't make the demonstration, but that she was very upset if one didn't try. She felt that trying was the main thing, not the effect if we would succeed or not. So even if one doesn't succeed in the first place, but to try it is the biggest thing one has done, to start out. Because the second time it's already easier, the third time it is easier. It's just a matter of getting into the habit of being alone with one's own being. That's something that students may not have cultured. They like to be not alone with their being, they like to be with the book, and with the paper, and with the printing ink. Whereas one should be also alone with one's own being, and train oneself in that. And I'm sure you felt when you did the work yesterday evening that it really did something to you. Try, if you can, with the notes you have made on this chart, try to flow vertically, only vertically, not horizontally. Just to try to flow vertically through these 16 chapters, in a tonality wise, in a way that you see the problem that is set in every box. That every box now gives you the tone of what is dealt with there, and you begin to feel the flow of it, the logic of it, the links within it. And so, little by little, establish that matrix sense in consciousness which should be engraved, really, with the point of a diamond and the pen of an angel. And second, I must ask you to do another job. It only takes about 15 minutes or so. Take the first four chapters in my structure book. In the structure book, we have for each chapter seven subjects, running from mind to spirit to soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And in the structure book, those subjects are written in italics. Write them out, one under the other, on each, say, a sheet of paper for each chapter. So that when I go through them tomorrow, that it is easier for you to follow me. Then you can take, if we go through pair, you take that sheet where you have just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, those italized epitomes on the 7. So when we go through the second chapter, you have it in front of you, and you can follow much easier, and we can work more easier. All right, that's it.